Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Right, this is a little bit we're going to do before we start the podcast because we're so passionately wanting to tell you about the finest razor on the market. I mean, how would you describe Cornerstone?
Better than Razor Ramon.
That's better than I could do.
I want to go and get a toothpick now and just walk around with it, slick my hair back. What would you say, Phil?
Sensational, absolutely sensational. Quality and the service as well, brilliant. Most importantly, though, it's better. It's voted better than Gillette and Wilkinson's Sword by GQ, who know a thing or two about shaving.
They know what they're talking about.
So if you're sat at home or in the shower using your Gillette, you're using the Rhys Priestland of razors.
You're letting Rhys Priestland touch your face.
To Cornerstone's Dan Biggar.
Yeah, so what you're saying is instead of letting Rhys Priestland sleazily touch your face, get Dan Biggar delivered to your house once a month to shave.
Get yourself a box of Biggers. But what you get is a beautiful engraved shaft. With your first order, which you could get for as little as £4 with your first order because you listen to us. Go to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. Or
Egg 10 at checkout.
Just while you mentioned Dan Biggar, I just have one observation. How, JB, did he not start for Wales in the Euro 2016 semi-final with an 88% strike rate at goal?
That's a very good question, actually.
He could have filled the void from Aaron Ramsey.
Yeah,
definitely.
Without a doubt. Don't get yourself a Rhys Priestland.
Yeah. And more importantly, they will deliver every single month. You never have to worry about eking out another shave from your blunt razor where it's ripping all of your hairs out. Fresh batch every month.
You deserve better than that.
Do you know what else is delivered fresh to you every week?
The Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast?
Exactly. Hands in, pod on three.
One, two, three.
Pod.
This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the number one podcast for rugby, and we don't take it, the game, or ourselves too seriously. I'm Tim, that's JB.
Hello, Tim.
And that is Philip.
Hi, Tim.
And there might not be any domestic rugby in the Northern Hemisphere going on, or any rugby for that matter going on, but there is still plenty to talk about as we look ahead to a new season, as we look at the stash that's getting unveiled all the time, as we look at the Southern Hemisphere rugby that is going on and building up to the Rugby Championship. We've had some reviews. Please leave them on iTunes. Thank you very much. You can subscribe on iTunes, on Acast. And, how about this for a review? I think it's brought a tear to my eye, single tear to my eye, boys. This one comes in from Sexton 10.
Oh, wow.
Big name.
Amazing.
Yeah. And Johnny said, five-star review, said, I look forward to a Monday morning pod nearly as much as I look forward to next year being Gloucester's year. Every year.
Guaranteed it's next year. Well, maybe not next year, but the year after. A couple of big signings.
Yeah, they're building for probably not this season because we're pretty much in the upcoming season now, aren't we? It's pre-season.
Yeah.
So it's probably going to be the season after I think.
They're always building for next year. So, it's on the way. Gloucester, your year is coming.
Yeah.
We've had lots of five-star reviews, and thank you very much for that. Very much appreciate it. Kieran83 gave us a two-star review. Says that we're too biased towards British and Irish rugby, and said I'm giving this 2 stars because if you're from South Africa, New Zealand or Australia, don't bother.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a dick. We're in the UK. We're in the UK.
If those selfish Australians and New Zealanders didn't stop playing the games Friday morning at 8 a.m. when I'm in work, I'd watch more of it.
Oh, sorry.
Or if podcasters in South Africa, New Zealand and Australia, green and gold, our friends aside, were better, then...
No. there are plenty of good podcasts, just none of them come out of South Africa, or we would know, and we would chat to them.
Oh. It's all right. I'm
so angry with him.
I knew that'd wind JB up.
Stupid man. Stupid.
Yes,
man.
This we
hang on. If you want to get a reaction out of me, please don't go leaving us 2-star reviews. You'll ruin everything.
No, don't. Just don't do that, because that doesn't help the algorithm.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, doesn't
it definitely doesn't.
Yes, thank you for your review. But it's fair to say, and thank you for taking the trouble to leave us a review, Kieran83. But yes, we are British. We are in the UK. And yes, due to the fact we've grown up watching, loving, supporting British rugby, that is mainly what we talk about.
Is there anyone saying 2 stars because we don't cover enough MotoGP?
Right. Anyway, listen, I also want to start off with this, right? Interest is building towards the Olympic Sevens rugby. The fixture lists are out.
Okay.
And yep, the pools and everything. And also, even the Brazilians are getting interested in rugby union. Obviously, Rio hosting the Olympic Sevens. Okay. And we think we are going to love Louis Picamole when he pulls on a Northampton Saints
yes,
shirt.
Yes, we are.
Quadzilla. However, in Brazil, they already love Louis Picamole.
Why?
They were trying to explain the 15-a-side game on an ESPN Brazil sports show.
Okay.
And they highlighted this player, Louis Picamole, and found it quite funny because in Portuguese, Picamole means limp penis.
Really?
So have a listen to him.
Talking about... Mas a grande disputa vai ser entre Kieran Reid, camisa 8, contra o camisa 8 da França, Luis Picamoles. Esse é o jogador...
Quem é que faz diferença?
É, Luis Picamoles.
Eu sei.
Right.
So if we had someone, Louis Limp Willy, as a player, I think we'd probably giggle.
I know you would.
We do have...
I would say, yeah. It does remind me of the adverts when Pele used to do...
Viagra.
Viagra.
And
the best, I would.
Yeah, I would. That
I
was
would.
I mean, if I had any problems. Yeah, player.
We have had British broadcasters, and in fact, English-speaking broadcasters have never had a giggle when they've had Andrew Hoare, Danny Grucock, Eve Dongey.
Eve Dongey's my favourite. Imagine laughing at Danny Grucock. That's not going to last long, is it? You don't laugh long at Danny Grucock.
In football, Marseille had a player, Rod Fanny.
Good, strong, but, strong.
That's a great one.
It is, but no, I just thought I thought you might appreciate that one. Louis Picamole is big with Portuguese-speaking rugby fans. All right, well, should we just jump from that then, as we're talking sevens, into the seven second rows and just bosh that one out?
I think so.
Let's
do it.
Why not start there? So we came up with a sevens team of props last week. And by the way, Rich Fogarty got in touch on Twitter at Rugby Podcast to say we missed Longo Milipola as an option.
Yeah, great shout.
Henry Hurst said he was at that game when Bans scored that try versus the All Blacks for South
Africa. Wow, in 2003.
Ah, okay.
2003,
yeah.
The one we played the commentary of last
week.
That
was an incredible try.
Which is apparently one of the best, like an absolutely sensational game as well, a few people said on Twitter.
If you want to watch a game on YouTube, like one of the best of all time, it's Ireland, South Africa. I can't remember where it is or the date. It's like the Battle of something.
In about 97.
The Battle of Bloemfontein.
That's the one.
Is it the Battle of Bloemfontein?
It is unbelievably good.
And Henry Hurst went on to say on Twitter that we missed Tom Smith, who actually played sevens. He said he saw him playing proper sevens.
What, Tom Smith, Northampton?
The old Northampton and Scotland international prop. He said he had genuine gas. So
a few people mentioned Keane Healy as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Proper church. So we thought we'd do a... It's not really worth doing a team of hookers because there's loads of good ball playing.
Absolutely
hookers.
Be a worthwhile project.
I was going to mention maybe next week go for a team of hookers and then go
really
into the
good
back row.
I suppose, it probably would be.
It'd probably be a genuinely good sevens team.
Yeah, that's kind of what I meant.
Yeah.
And it'd be interesting to do this when we get to a scrum half one as well, because you'll have to find guys that can fill in as forwards and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mike Phillips,
Kanfo Tuli.
Piri
Weepu.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, definitely. But second rows today, locks. So who have you got? Who do you want to suggest?
Mario. I'm just going to go Mario.
Just because he's amazing at everything.
He's just amazing at everything, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, what couldn't he do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably his coach and team manager as well.
Well, we said Leone Nakarawa as captain.
Obvious, isn't it?
Because he is a genuinely sensational sevens player, as well as being a world-class lock.
Now, I'm pretty sure he has played second row, although primarily he played back row. Radiki Samil.
He also played internationally as a winger.
As a winger.
I think against Russia in 2011.
Oh, straight in
definitely,
there.
Definitely. Definitely
straight
in there.
Straight in there. Not so much now, because he's kind of lost whatever he had about 5-10 years ago, but James Gaskell.
Oh, I just think that's a great shot. Yeah. He's still got it.
I want to see him just run 100. Has he got the gas that he used to have when he first burst on the scene?
Oh, I bet he does.
He has bulked up quite a bit, because he was used as a back row, wasn't he, when he first...
Yeah. Doesn't make you wonder, though, like, if he's that special, and I think he is was a bit of a special player with his pace, isn't that kind of the curse of modern rugby, that you get this special player with unusual abilities? Because he scored a try from the halfway line against Toulouse, and then you bulk him up and make him into a prototypical rugby player. Is that not something which is a little bit wrong with the modern game?
Arguably, yeah. I think that's a fair shout.
Yeah, you're almost limiting the thing that was exceptional about him to make him more homogenous.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I do see the point.
And like you have that sometimes. James Forrester, and I know he never...
One of my favourite ever players.
Yeah, I mean, his career was cut far too short because of injury, but he was just one of the most athletic, interesting back row players. But if he'd have stayed fit, I imagine he would have put on another 10 kg and not been the same player that he was.
Yeah, especially if he's around now, he definitely would have. Yeah. Him, and who's the other one who was similar mould, Scottish Tate, incredible for a little while, Simon Taylor.
Yeah.
I wanted those two in the same back row.
Yeah.
Ooh. That's good. Back to the second row.
Courtney Laws.
He would put in some of those monstrous hits, you see, and he has got gas. I don't think he's got good enough hands to play sevens.
Maybe not. Yeah.
But he's very fit.
He is
fit.
There again, Launchby is very fit.
I think sevens is like the number of touches you have per game is massive. It has to be someone who's got really good basic skills, which is another reason for picking James Gaskell. I think he was tremendous. He is tremendous at handling.
On the Gaskell theme of someone who's played back row and second row, Tom Croft.
Ooh.
Yeah, but he's very limited at time at second row.
He started the Heineken Cup final in 2009 at second row.
Did he really?
He did. And that season he was covering a lot in the second row.
Was that the one against...
That was against...
Munster?
No, Leinster.
Leinster, when they lost.
That was the one where Alessandro Tuilagi ran over Shane Horgan.
Oh, yeah.
There was some niggle that goes to the touchline, wasn't it? And Horgan pushed Tuilagi. And then next time he got the ball, he just ran 30 metres straight at him and ran straight over him.
I do remember that, actually.
Yeah.
And the other Tuilagi moment I remember from the Heineken Cup as well is when he did the same trick against Stade Francais and Hernandez smashed him into touch.
Awesome.
There you go.
Yeah.
Going back to good hands and being fit, what about Simons from London Irish? I've not seen much of him, but he actually does fit that mould. Good hands, athletic, fit.
I don't know if he's got the gas of a sevens player. I don't know, but he is quite a rangy, athletic, broken field kind of lock.
I'm not sure many of these lads have
probably more suited to Super Rugby than to Premiership Rugby, arguably.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you someone from Super Rugby who's definitely in. Let me put the sound on for this. It's probably worth a bit of sound. Do you remember this try from a couple of seasons ago?
Oh, yes, this is going to be Whitelock.
Whitelock.
Oh,
tremendous
wow.
Try.
So 60 metres out, that's his own 10-metre line.
Go on. Yes.
Yes.
Round the fullback.
Oh. That is,
get off me.
Oh, that is ridiculous.
T-R-Y, try.
That's outrageous. Yeah. Ritalik's a pretty mean player as well. He's had a few long-range tries.
Yeah, he has. He's not a bad shout.
And then Raws on Twitter got in touch and suggested a couple of Irishmen, Hendo and Ultan Dilan.
I'd put Hendo in any team.
Yeah, I think Hendo's a good shout.
So we've got seven now.
And he also suggested John Eales to kick sticks.
Chabal as well. Chabal played a bit for France in the second row, didn't he?
He did.
Again, was he just like, I loved, oh my God, there's few players I've loved more than Sebastian Chabal. And I could watch his YouTube montage videos all day long. I love the guy. But sevens,
Big Carrier wasn't fast.
Well, Big Carrier had an amazing engine and was explosive and did incredible things. But he's one of those guys that would make you facepalm straight after he'd made you stand on your feet and cheer, because he'd just drop the ball or spill it in contact.
In sevens, though, those incredibly long arms, 3 meter wingspan for handoffs and for offloads. Maybe. The other one mentioned on Twitter, a guy I don't really remember, Chris Wyatt.
Chris Wyatt.
Is he
a Welshman? Yeah.
Yeah, Welshman.
Munster.
Yes, he did play for Munster.
Started at Scarlet, Munster, gone Scarlets, yeah.
Newport, Scarlets, Munster. And Scarlet's rugby blog described him as being like an escaped horse when he got going.
I like the description of Mike Haley for the Saxons running like a Labrador who's been locked up all day.
As opposed to your...
Mike Haley did a beaut of a tweet, didn't he?
I discovered that this morning.
Mike Haley, the Sale Sharks fullback, tweeted. He's obviously been having a chat with some of his Sale Sharks colleagues.
Well, with Sam James, of course.
And Sam James, his Sale Sharks colleague, said, Sam James, quote, "I love when boys walk into a pub club thinking they're the top dogs, then they see me and skulk off."
What's the hashtag, Tim?
The hashtag, King of Wilmslow.
The King of Wilmslow. Might make a banner for him now in the Sale Games.
King of Wilmslow.
The King of Wilmslow.
Oh, wow.
I hope the King of Wilmslow sticks.
Yeah.
Especially if he gets the recognition that he deserves. He's a damn good player. Then we can really go to town with the King of Wilmslow.
King of Wilmslow.
King of Wilmslow. There you go. You've got to get the Neil Briggs on fire song going, like Will Griggs on fire. Neil Briggs on fire and a King of
Wilmslow. That's already been done, apparently.
Apparently
they've been doing it in training.
Oh, well, that doesn't count. That's different.
Different to the fun.
Similar attendance, but...
Just on Sale. Has Eastman been confirmed yet?
No,
he's not.
We know he's going. Everyone's...
But it seems like a done deal.
I mean,
it's talked about as if it's a done deal, but it's not been confirmed. I just wonder if he's maybe going to have a return to rugby league.
Maybe. Well, there's that. And also, a lot of the Sale boys are quite happy with the centre options that they've got. They think they're very well catered for in centres. And they don't really see the need for it. So.
Interesting. If you think we've missed a second row that deserves to be in a second row sevens team, then at Rugby Podcast, tweet us and we'll do hookers next week.
Yes, let's do hookers, because that will be a genuinely very good team.
Suggestions for hooker sevens team next week. Right, where should we go then, boys? It's quite weird without having the normal structure of this set of games.
Yeah.
So,
there have been some games. Now, have you announced that we're recording this on Friday night, Tim?
We're recording this on Friday night, Phil.
I just wanted to confirm, because there has been three, maybe four Super Rugby games, of which I've seen the end of the Lions Chiefs. End of Lions Kings when I got home from work, which was...
Lions versus Kings, that won't be competitive.
It was more competitive than a lot of people were thinking.
I'm going to say 20-point win for the Lions.
It was more than that. It was 36-point win.
Right, and we consider that more competitive?
More competitive than people were expecting.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
There was some hiding. So the Blues, who are the worst New Zealand team, hosted the Brumbies, who are the best Australian team, and beat them by 30 points.
Well, I think, right, and this is from my position of relative ignorance on Australian matters, but there's something fundamentally flawed with the Brumbies organisation. It's not the players. I think it's the stuff going on behind the scenes there with the management and everything else. Because the players are great. We know the players are great.
Yeah.
But to go away and... Well, I assume that they played... I hope they played away.
They did play away.
And get absolutely spanked.
By the way, Kieran 1983 will be loving this chat at the minute right now.
Well, the brief Lions-Kings chat.
Yeah.
And then the other game this morning was Reds hosted Chiefs.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess. This was a Reds versus hosted Chiefs. This one was a 24-point win to the Chiefs.
45-point win to the Chiefs.
Oh, my word.
It's really... really
this is Pro 12 level of predictability now.
This is terrible.
The Blues was a shock, beating the Brumbies so comfortably. But, Chiefs against Reds. Reds not doing much. Chiefs top of the New Zealand conference, second in the overall conference to the Lions. So that was rather predictable.
So after this round of games, there's one more round of normal games before the playoffs.
Two more rounds.
One more after
this weekend.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
Round 17 is next weekend. That's the final round. And then I think we're going to have to do some revision on the playoff system because I still don't fully understand it.
Right, just to let you know what's coming up on the rest of the podcast, we're going to be mentioning Stuart Lancaster's new job. We're going to be talking about Exeter and Newcastle in our little in-out transfer reviews. We're going to be... Well, JB's organised a game, and I don't know whether that game involves the big pile of stuff that we can see.
It does. It involves that big pile of shirts right there.
Oh, and while we're on the subject of shirts, we'll have lots of stash to talk about because there's lots of shirts been unveiled this week, jerseys for the new season. But I mentioned it there, Stuart Lancaster.
Right. Every week there's a new Stuart Lancaster story.
Yeah.
Every week.
He's doing or threatening to do something different every week.
So last week we were talking about his role at the FA, which it did turn out, with a bit more information came out about that, it was advising on youth development.
Which I think
he's got a great track record of.
Right. So I've been having to think about this. I was talking to some of the RFU guys in youth development. They say they've got this great youth development structure. And then they do this really weird thing, okay, which is they say, statistically, players will develop by age 24. And the best players that they can find are probably players that have played elsewhere in different sports and then brought them through. Now, to me, this sounds like a complete cop-out. And one of these things that you would say if you're not particularly good at your job. Because everybody knows in football, the players come through at 18, 19, 20.
Yeah.
Do we all agree on that?
Yeah.
So the RFU have got themselves in this peculiar position now where they're saying, no, go away and play. And they're openly saying this, go away and play different sports. Come back to us when you're fully developed. This, to me, sounds like they're missing the players. And when they do finally show up later on when they're 24, they're saying, well, we told you so.
Well,
like Beaumont.
I
do think there's some merit in that as an approach with younger children. Like, I think...
Six.
Well, no, I think even 13, 15, 14, 15, actually, play basketball, row.
Play cricket,
Do track and field, play cricket. The handle, all those transferable skills will create that intelligence.
Agreed.
And that spatial awareness and identification of opportunities and stuff. And I think that's really, really important. But, I think we should make sure we don't get young guys coming through, gym monkeys that never actually play proper competitive rugby, just play those kind of
representative levels,
representative age grade stuff, and play 10 games a year and go in the gym and become rats.
My little worry about the whole thing is that these coaches, I call them non-competitive coaches, because they hover around in the RFU getting paid a ton of money wearing England stash, and they surround themselves with like the best players who are going to make it anyway. So they could tell them anything. They could do literally anything. They could say, right, we're going to make you guys better by going to personality classes to work on your community service skills. And they'll still make it. And then they will attribute their success to their annoying thinking. And I really dislike this non-competitive coaching thing.
What they should do is sit these guys down and watch Rocky IV. Because, fine, you have Dolph Lundgren, you can pump him full of whatever you want, make him run around specific tracks. You need to go and run up a mountain and through snow and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mix it up.
Yeah, look at Tony Buckley. He was grown in some IRFU laboratory.
And
he was one of the worst players.
But Stuart Lancaster's new role, potentially, is as a defence coach, or at least consulting as a defence coach for the Atlanta Falcons NFL team.
Yes.
Oh, okay, so, the one thing he's not very good at is coaching high-level professional teams. We know this. We've seen it at Leeds, we've seen it at England. So we don't need to go into that any further. Atlanta Falcons have no youth system. They never will. They're not even allowed to. They can only get college players which they've drafted. So he's not doing that. In terms of his defensive skills... he's actually behind the curve here because Seattle Seahawks have already done it. In fact, they've got a video and it's called they've put American names, handoff is stiff arm, sidestep is Duke, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, they've got things like the ankle drag, and that would be one type. And there's they've got three, the side tackle is the impact spear or something like that. And they've got all these different names for just what we do naturally in rugby. So he's actually behind the curve.
Well, Atlanta Falcons are. He just gave the coaches some drills. So I don't think he was actually working with the team. But
I wonder what he's going to make of the NFL NFL gun culture. Have you got good people here? Well, not really, no.
We should predict what it's going to be next week. I'm going to say he's going to take over...
cycling.
He's going to take over a kabaddi team.
I think ballet. I think he could be very useful in British ballet.
Yeah, and they've got a strong bullying culture in ballet as well. So he can really iron that up.
It's a hierarchy, isn't it?
Do you know if...
It should be a non-blame, flat... organisational structure
where everybody's equal.
Correct.
I think he's going to go and instil some a more feminist culture in
the Tory party
in Brazil in the Brazilian women's beach volleyball team.
Yeah,
that's what I think he'll do. He'll get them covered up and not just pieces of meat but pro athletes. There you go. Your predictions are what you think Stuart Lancaster will be doing next week to at Rugby Podcast.
It could be anything. It could be absolutely anything.
It's going to be on Love Island.
Oh no.
Okay. Do you want to play this game?
Yes, come on then. Let's play this game. So JB's got a big stash of shirts.
So what I've done is I've got all these rugby shirts, right? So I'm going to put all the rugby shirts, well, not all of them, a couple of them in the room, and it's going to go back and forth. So here are the rules. One of you is going to start. I've got some questions, and the question will be related to the shirts. If you get a question wrong, it'll go to the next person. If you get the question about the shirt right, you get to remove the shirt, and that is your point. All right?
Okay.
Okay, I like it.
Okay.
Very visual, which is good for a podcast.
Oh, don't you worry about it.
We can bring it to life.
That's right. So the first one is a Harlequin shirt. Now, obviously, the first go here is vital. So the first one of you to tell me this gets the first question. So who is Harlequin's director of rugby?
John Kingston.
Correct. So, Tim, yes. Here is your first question.
Yep.
What team did Nick Evans play for prior to the Quins?
Phil will know this one. I don't. I'm going to say Canterbury Crusaders, and he was Dean Carter's understudy there. Ooh. Was he? I knew he
was not, Phil.
I didn't think he was Crusaders. I don't know though.
You've only got three left, really, unless he was somewhere else.
Nope.
Four left. I'm going to assume he was New Zealand. I'm going to go for the Chiefs.
It is not the Chiefs.
I'll go Highlanders.
Nope.
50-50. Canes.
It's not the Canes, so I'm going to give it back to Tim, but it's going to be a different question.
Okay.
I can't believe you didn't get that.
Oh.
Harlequins.
What was the answer then?
Blues.
Well, it's Blues, wasn't it?
Oh, Blues, obviously. Okay, fine. Yeah.
Okay, so Harlequins used to be merged with another team. Who was that team?
Oh, the Broncos, rugby league side.
Okay, I'm going to give you another go because I didn't explain it properly. When they separated, they became two separate teams.
So is it a rugby union team?
Rugby union. So two rugby union teams, they separated. They're both now very famous.
I'll say London Welsh.
It's not London Welsh.
Richmond?
It's not Richmond.
We're not very good at this.
Oh my God.
London Scottish.
It's not London Scottish.
Wasps.
It is Wasps.
Yes! Oh. Give me the shirt.
Get the shirt off the pile.
So this is a circa 1998 Quins with the NEC. Mizuno shirt with the NEC.
Yep, that's the one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, with Greenwood.
Greenwood, yeah.
So Phil is in control.
Okay. Yes.
What competition in 2004 did Wasps get disqualified from?
2004, whatever the equivalent of the cup was, the Tetley's Cup or the Zurich Cup.
It was the Tetley's Bitter Cup.
Tetley's Bitter Cup.
You may have another shirt.
You take that Wasp shirt.
Yes.
Oh, the next shirt is Cast Olympique.
That is right. So Cast was formed from a multi-sport club, but what was the dominant sport in that club?
I'm going to assume it's not rugby, and I'm going to say, what do the French love? Rowing club.
It was not a rowing club. Tim, I think you know this.
Basketball.
What? You're mental. No, it wasn't basketball.
I don't know.
It was cycling.
Cycling.
Where did Cast finish in the 2014 season, Phil?
2014?
They won. This is a bit specific.
2015. So one. Not this one. The one before last.
2015. Because they won it in 2014, I thought. And then... Were they not... Wait, the one before last?
Yeah.
I'm going to say they won it. They won the damn thing.
They didn't.
Ugh.
Where did they come the year before that, Tim? There's a big clue.
They won it.
Yes, they did.
I'll take a shirt.
Oh, my God.
I'll take my cash shirt. Come on, we've got a France shirt now.
Okay.
So how many left? We've got three left, and it's 2-1 to me.
Yep. Don't worry. It's going to get better.
Are you sure?
France's current world ranking is what, Tim?
France's current world ranking will be behind England, Australia, South Africa, New Zealand. Probably... I'll go for 7.
It is 7. Well done.
Very good.
Look at that. We're really picking up pace now.
Get in.
Okay.
I've got taken the France jersey. Beautiful, lovely jersey that is now the Stade Francais jersey.
So Stade Francais. It is Richard Paul Jones. So he is the first English player to play for Stade. Who are the other four?
Ollie Phillips.
Yep.
James Haskell.
Yep.
Tom May didn't go there, did he?
Nope.
No, who did? No.
Come on. I'm going to have to rush you.
Do I get the shirt? Because I got two of them.
Nope. Tim, can you finish it off the shirt?
No.
The other two are Tom Palmer and Paul Sackey.
Oh, Sackey. Oh.
Get rid of that shirt. Newport's highest ever finish in the Celtic Leagues. It's a Newport shirt.
So it's on Tim.
Newport Gwent Dragons, 7.
It's not.
6.
No.
5.
No.
8.
No.
4.
Yes. Take that shirt away. Oh, what's that?
Oh my God. Oh, my God.
That's right. So the last question is, who owns that Haguara shirt?
Me.
No, JB owns it. I'm the winner of the quiz. Thank you very much, boys.
So this was just a ruse.
It was just a ruse to
show off your lovely, lovely new Haguares shirt.
Which you came by what means?
Well, it's actually not my shirt. It's our shirt.
Okay.
So I thought they were unavailable in the UK. Unavailable outside of Argentina.
No, they're not unavailable outside of Argentina. They're illegal to buy outside of Argentina. So...
Okay.
I would say if anyone does wear it, it should be you, JB, because it's an XL.
It is an XL.
It's big.
What were you trying to say, Tim?
You've got lovely big shoulders.
You're a big slice. You can fill that bad boy.
Yeah, it's a good-looking top, isn't it?
It'd be really baggy around the waist. You want it taken in by a tailor.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It's probably a bit small on my shoulders.
Yeah.
Sure. So huge thank you to our listener, Richard Frost, who sent that in. That is going to go on the studio wall.
Amazing, Frosto.
I have no idea who won that. You can count the shirts if you want. But I think
Tim. Well, no. You're the winner. Tim, the winner. Tim 3. I got 2. And JB wins.
Yeah. All right. Rugby was the winner.
Yeah.
It certainly wasn't the art of quizzing.
all right. So over the off-season weeks, we're taking a microscope and we're putting clubs from... Well, all clubs. We will get round to the... teams in the Pro 12 as well, but for now we're focusing on the Aviva Premiership and we're looking at the ins and outs and where the squads are, what the areas of need are, how we think the recruitment has gone and what we think the expectations should be for the season. Last week we did Saracens and Bristol, and this week we're going to look at second place and second bottom, which is second place was Exeter Chiefs and second bottom was Newcastle Falcons.
Mm-hmm. Correct. So should we start with Exeter?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
So, I was thinking through the Exeter squad. Where would you identify the weaknesses? Because I don't think they've got particularly many.
No, they're very consistent. You know, they don't have... Without being disrespectful, they don't have much top-end talent. So, you don't go through the Exeter squad and say, that guy is a Premiership all-star team.
Well, probably the three best are the boys they've brought through the ranks.
Yeah.
Noel, Slade and
I think they've all signed new
Cowan
deals
Dickie.
All have signed new deals this week.
They have, yeah. And they're arguably three of their best players. I mean, you could add Steenson because he's so instrumental to them, to that. And players like Parling and Salvi and Waldrum who bring the experience. But yeah, I do agree that they're a team rather than standout individuals.
Yeah. You can't really judge Exeter by the standards you judge everyone else. Like, so judging Exeter... say compared to a Bath or a Northampton wouldn't necessarily be right, because like, they don't get big names in, and every year they have surprised us, from the year that they stayed up to the year they finished fourth to last year they finished second. So it's very hard to actually get a gauge on where they are.
My thoughts on them are, and you know, they've shown everyone wrong. There was season before last when people were like, oh, I think they might be, you know, looking behind them, looking down the table. And they...
Yeah, particularly when the season before last was the first time they made the champions, European Champions Cup, and people were saying it's fighting the battles on both fronts. Can they handle it?
Yeah. I do wonder and I do fear that that was the best chance they're ever going to get. Well, not ever. No, not ever. Let me take that back. I think that's the best chance they're going to get for a bit, because there was other clubs that are in transition. Bath had a particularly off year.
Yep.
Gloucester just again blew
it. Well,
it's
next year for them, isn't it?
Once again, yeah.
Yeah.
Wasps are cobbling it together, but they're not quite ready to do it the whole season long. Leicester.
Quinn's had a bad year. Leicester had a bad year by their standards.
Although I still think Quinn. I think still think Quinn's going to have another bad year.
But this league, everyone will have a bad year because it's so tough. You've just listed every pretty much almost like half the league having a bad year there. They don't all have bad years. It's just a tough place to be.
Yeah, that is a fair point. So just looking at the squad, or looking at the people who've left their squad, they've not really lost anyone. All of their top-end talent is still there. And then they've brought in some interesting players. So they've brought in three Aussies.
Who are the Aussies? Because I don't know them.
Greg Holmes, the prop from the Reds. Dave Dennis.
That's a good signing.
He's a good signing.
That's a very good signing.
Big boy, can play second row or back row.
I was watching a game with Dave Dennis in it. He used to play for Force, right? Is that the boy?
He played for Waratahs.
Oh, sorry, yeah. So Waratahs against the Force. And they were backed up, the Waratahs were backed up in their own 22. And the commentator somehow said something along the lines of, a pickup and go and score now is unlikely. But in Dave Dennis, they've got the man to do it. I was like, that's very ambitious. Something held in high regard there.
A 90-metre pick and go.
Yeah, it's a big ask. It's a big ask.
And they've also brought in Lachlan Turner. Lachie Turner.
He played towards the end of the season, didn't he? He was involved.
Who is that?
Well, he's come over from Toulon, hasn't he? Yeah, so he came in kind of partway. He was on a short-term deal at Toulon.
Sorry, who is that?
He's the
Aussie, like, wing fullback.
Right, okay.
Who was the fastest man in Australian sport when they did a 100 metres race about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. Who beat Jared Hayne, who came third.
Wow.
In just over 11.1 seconds.
Feels a little bit like a utility kind of squad strengthening guy to me.
Now, last few seasons, Matt Jess has been kind of ever present. I mean, I think it was a couple of seasons ago he played every single Premiership game. Last season, he's getting on a little bit now. He played less and less, and you had more Noel and Ollie Woodburn starting on the wings for the big game. So it does give you an option, wing and fullback.
Yeah.
I think there's three pretty handy signings there.
Mm. If there's one thing we should have learned and we know about that area of Devon, and obviously they get kind of Cornwall as well as part of their catchment, is that is just a massive hotbed of rugby, some brilliant rugby schools, great youth level development. And if they sign too many new big names, then it would hinder the sort of next breed of players coming through.
And of course, they don't want to do that, do they?
And they don't want to do that very much. So,
Academy credits and the rest of it.
Yeah.
And the one other player they've brought in is
Ollie
a bit...
Devoto.
Devoto, yeah, which is a bit of a weird one, because you've got kind of Slade and Hill in the centres with Ian Whitson playing 12. And Devoto almost feels like a Henry Slade Mark II.
A lesser version.
A slightly not as good version as Henry Slade.
It depends what they're going to do,
well,
then, isn't
it? Well, I just wonder if this signals the intent to start the transition of Slade more into fly half.
Yes.
As Steenson is getting a little bit older. He's still not old by any stretch for fly half.
32, 33?
Yeah, that kind of age.
33, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
So for Exeter, which is more of the same, that's what they need to do, more of the same.
So
basically,
arguably... I'm sure that money would be there if Rob Baxter wanted to go out and spend it, but obviously they're having to use more of their salary on retaining the current players that have come through. But they've got such an incredible production line of Rob Baxter and Exeter Chiefs take a very long-term view, and you could look at the way that Wasps have recruited and the way Exeter have recruited. They're both at a similar position and performing at a similar level with a very, very different approach.
Well, it does make the question that rugby club boards have to answer very, very interesting, though. Because you remember when I laughed wholeheartedly at Dean Ryan because he had a long-term plan. Well, in fairness to Dean Ryan, the only way to do this now is a long-term plan, because you can't buy players in because you won't be competitive. You'll be substantially less competitive because you need all those credits in order to build your squad.
Well, you need some very creative accountants.
and some nice third-way deals, which no one knows about. On the other hand, if you get it wrong at the start of that term, 5 years later is a long, long time to have your organisation run into the ground.
Yeah.
I will just say one thing about Exeter from last season. So obviously the whole thing was about Saracens from the start to the finish. They won it. Exeter actually outscored them in the full 22-game season and conceded fewer points.
Really?
Yeah, which is quite a remarkable feat. So I think Exeter... I don't think they will win it next year, but I think they'll be right up there and pushing. And again, with that, they've now got the experience of Heineken Cup quarter-final or European Champions Cup quarter-final. They've got experience of the playoffs. I think this squad is...
They're ready to do something.
Yeah.
They're in a horrible position, though, which is anything else than winning the whole thing is actually a step backwards. It's a big ask.
I fear that we may have seen, for a few years, we may have seen Peak Chiefs and they may have missed their boat. But we will see. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see because they're young English talent coming of age.
Yeah,
they've still got the experience.
This is very true. At Rugby Podcast, tweet your thoughts. So, we move on from Exeter second top to Newcastle, who finished second bottom. And we've had some tweets from Newcastle Falcons fans to At Rugby Podcast.
We have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Effectively saying, your discussion of Newcastle only needs to be the being grateful that Sinotti is back and fit. With him in the team, we'll be fine, is what they've said.
Well, I think that contributor is exactly right. Based on this, I think Newcastle do very well to pick up good ageing talent. By the way, Sinotti isn't ageing, but I'm talking about who is the seven that they bought in? Who is excellent?
The seven?
Yeah, Tongan seven, Tongan captain, legend.
Oh, yeah. Latu.
And then they brought in Goud. My biggest concern about them is they rely far too heavily on individuals playing. And you take a couple of individuals out their team and they're all over the show.
That's not too far off. So just on Sinotti. So they've released a couple of ageing wingers in the Tuolagi boys.
Okay.
Andy and Alex. But they've brought in Vereniki Gonova, who's 32.
Yeah.
But the last few seasons, he's been absolutely superb. One of the best wingers in the Premiership by some distance. So that could be a very good signing. And to have those two on the wingers, you've got some real firepower out there. You put someone like Sochino inside, who can play a bit of ball, alongside Mike Delaney, if he can get some form together.
Now, this is where I get concerned with
Delaney. So you're working your way in.
Yeah.
You've got the hammer at fullback. You've got those two wingers. You've got Sochino, Delaney.
Am I being horribly unfair in saying Delaney is one of the weaker, probably the weakest option at fly half in the Premiership this year?
Weakest first choice.
Well, I don't know, Bristol.
Yeah, okay, Bristol's
weak
fair
as well.
But
interestingly,
Worcester maybe.
Well, it's such a Worcester.
Yeah,
again.
Worcester's a good point.
Worcester, but
actually,
then what have all three of those teams got in common? They're probably all going to be scrapping away in the lower end. It's such an important position.
That it's a very good point about Worcester. One we'll come on to next week when we touch on them. That if they'd have had a good goal kicker last season, because they had Heathcote, former Bath player. Yeah. He was running at like 60% average. They would have won considerably more games just through hitting their kicks. So that is a very good point. Now they have brought in a 10, although he's a kind of, I never know what to make of him. He was a 10, and then they tried to put him as a scrum half for a bit when he was at Northampton, and then he's gone to Leeds. He was originally at Newcastle. Joel Hodgson.
Joel Hodgson, that's the one, yeah.
And I've never really seen, so I don't think he's going to come in and...
Well, he was highly rated when he went down there.
He was, but
it's pedigree you want. And I suppose Mike Delaney's got years under his belt. But anyway, so
one last thing, sorry, Tim, about Mike Delaney. He's the only fly-half I've ever seen have three attempts at a drop goal in the same passage of play and get none of them even close.
Well, two of them were charged down just to allow him to have the other attempts.
It was very poor.
So fly-half is I think a big weakness.
I think they might be all right this year. I don't think they'll fly up the table or anything, but they've got a certain doggedness.
Well, yeah, doggedness is right. But what they've got in their favour is they actually play quite nice rugby.
They do,
and they've got a plastic pitch.
A plastic pitch.
Well, which is great when Saracens come to town.
So looking at the players who left, George McGuigan going to Leicester, young hooker, that's a blow to him because that's the kind of boy they want to keep for both for the academy credits, and he's an upcoming young talented lad. Obviously, Goode's left halfway through the season. Todd Clever's gone. The two Alagis have gone. Scott McLeod has retired.
What?
Kane Thompson, the utility second row back row from Samoa, New Zealand, has gone. Joshua Furno, another second row back row utility player.
Yeah, it's all.
There's no stars going, but there's very few stars there anyway. The boys they brought in, so they brought in Joel Hodgson. Gonather's the biggest name they brought in by some distance. They brought in a lad from Jersey, someone from England 7, Sam Edgerton, a lad from Ealing, Ben Surrey from Worcester, a guy from Kenyan 7s. They brought in two American utility second row back rows who I've not heard of, a Canadian utility second row back row.
It doesn't fill you with massive hope.
No.
And yet I've just got this feeling they're going to be all right.
I think you're more optimistic than me, Tim.
Yeah, I think
they've got they're my favourites for the drop things stand.
If they've got something in their favour, Dean Richards is a pretty canny operator. I just hope he knows what he's doing with that bunch of signings, because it's a bit of a mixed bag, to be polite.
They have brought in a hooker, Cal Cooper from the Sharks, South African hooker. You've got 15 or so guys going out, a dozen guys coming in. I'm just not sure. I'm not confident for Newcastle.
Let us know what you think, Newcastle Falcons fans, at Rugby Podcast, tweet. Could be interesting. But then you look around and there's been a bit of upheaval at Worcester, who we'll talk about next week.
Yeah.
But Bath have still got big issues.
Yes, they do.
There could be points that could be won and taken. So I think that home form might stand them in good stead. But we will see. And so your thoughts on Exeter and on Newcastle, and also next week. So we're going to talk about Wasps.
Yes, Wasps and Worcester.
Wasps and Worcester. At Rugby Podcast, tweet your thoughts and we'll go through them next week. Just while we're talking tweets, just a few that have come in. Adam Moore, hello to you. At Rugby Podcast, he's going through ACL reconstruction and he's been passing the time with the podcast. Tweeted us a picture of his leg in cast, all bandaged up and whatnot.
Yeah, get well soon, mate.
Phil knows all about.
I've never had an ACL reconstruction. I did my MCL, medial collateral ligament in my right knee, which has been giving me some jip recently, actually.
Yeah, I'm having a reputation reconstruction over at Toc H, but I've never had a serious injury.
Yeah, I've had a few, more than my fair share of serious injuries.
You've had a serious injury, Tim.
Get well soon.
I'm going to touch wood when I say this. No.
No.
But I think if the current concussion laws of today were around when I was young,
I would never have played.
I think a doctor probably would have said you can't play, because there was a game I played for South West under 18s or whatever, against London and South East or whatever, one of these representative matches, and I was running over to the touchline every 2 minutes apparently saying, what number am I wearing, what number's on my back. I would play the whole game. I got hit in about a minute. I didn't have a clue, and I don't remember the game.
God.
And my mate says I was just asking after the game in the showers, my mate who was at the same school as me, apparently I was just asking the same question over and over and
over.
Did
you repeat a lot of the same stories on the podcast, you
I had that up at Tynedale.
Did you?
I finished the game, no idea what happened, but finished the game, can't remember taking a blow to the head, and I had this massive lump above my eye. And the next day, the Sunday and the Monday, actually, I was in work on the Monday, and I was sick as a dog. And I actually missed the next weekend. Sedgley, this is 6 years ago probably, yeah. Sedgley actually sent me to see the club doctor for a concussion test, and he said, no, you're not playing for 2 weeks. So, well,
yeah, I mean,
ahead of the curve was Sedge.
I think that was probably in line with the curve.
The one thing, I probably wouldn't get a baseline score, so that would rule me out. But the second thing, when I have been concussed, it's been those. Do you ever get deja vu when you get concussed?
Yeah,
in the head. It's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I used to get concussed a lot. My mum made me have a scrum cap before they were trendy to wear. And they were rubbish looking. It was like one of those old... I was young. It was one of those like... It was practically like one of those old leather ones that rugby league players used to wear. And she made me wear that because she was so worried about me kept getting knocked out.
Who was the Australian rugby league guy?
I was just thinking of him.
He was like 37. And then he went to Catalans.
He's just retired, isn't he?
He retired about 2 years ago when he was like 38. Whoa. And he had the proper old school
leather thing. Yeah.
Like, what's his name wore in the film Up and Under?
Yes.
Neil Morrissey.
No, the fat guy. Keith. Keith will eat your breakfast. It was a team talk, and he's stacked Yorkshireman, and he had a like, little pot belly.
Also, right, while we're on social media, Jacques Berger tweeted a picture of him drinking a beer. With the tagline Namibia's finest, a picture of him with sunglasses on drinking a beer with the caption Saracens Rugby, how's pre-season going, boys?
That's nice, man.
And James Haskell, he didn't tweet or Instagram a picture this time, though he's done plenty of that himself, but there was one picture in the newspapers through a long paparazzi lens where James Haskell is wearing what can only be described as St. George's flag budgie smugglers or banana hammock.
Yeah. They are budgie smugglers, the brand, aren't they?
Yes,
they're
Australian.
Really? Yeah, the brand.
Oh, okay. I want to believe that was just he didn't know he was having a photograph taken of him, but
really
strutting around in those St. George's budgie smugglers.
I was going to say when you said a very long lens camera, I was thinking no chance that is organised.
But a very very strong look. Although every time I see him like that, I just think how small his legs are by comparison to his body.
Not sure if that's a compliment or not.
No.
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 That is a particularly unflattering picture, the one that you tweeted.
Yeah.
There are some others. So he doesn't help himself by wearing his socks down when he plays. Yeah. I think he has got very good, very strong legs.
They're very strong.
Is he just desperate to be recognised? I mean, part of me is surprised that he's not protected himself from the sun by wearing a scrum hat. You know, just to make sure everyone knows James Haskell
James
is on the beach.
Yeah.
And a set of decks.
I'll tell you the post I've seen that I'm most jealous of this week.
Harlequins.
Oh, well, the Harlequins.
It's not Harlequins.
Danny Kerr's stag do.
Yeah, Danny Kerr's stag do.
Because Burrell's there, Ashton's there. There's a few other boys there. But it was mostly Harlequins. I saw Marlon Yarder stayed on with his boys. Looked like kind of his entourage rather than any rugby players were there. he tweeted from Ibiza the other day.
Nice.
But the one I'm most envious of, Owen Farrell.
What was he up to?
He did an Instagram post, which was Napa Valley, and it was just, six glasses of red, six very small glasses of red wine. Mm. So he's wine tasting in Napa Valley.
I'm quite impressed with Owen Farrell with that. Yeah.
I am really
impressed. I would have thought he would have been, you know, with the cap he wears sometimes, that flat peak baseball cap. I thought he might have been, you know, out in Marbella trying to knock on the door, trying to get into Love Island, which is what it looks like Haskell was trying to do.
Yeah, fair play. I'm surprised he's just not back to Wigan for
a pie.
Pie and pee wet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mentioned Love Island. That's JB's favourite show, by the way.
I've never seen it.
I can honestly say I've never seen it.
I don't know what really
well.
You're referring to.
Yeah, imagine sort of young rugby guys coming out of the academy.
Okay, got that.
Or like the gym monkey rugby lads.
Okay,
with a sleeve tattoo on the arm, bulked up from being a gym monkey, and all they want to do is get to Ibiza or Ayia Napa. It's basically them in a house with a load of women. Although, the thing is, I've seen about a quarter of an hour of it today, and all they talk about is how each other have banter. Oh, it's got a great banter. As far as I can tell, they have the worst chat I've ever heard. All they do is stand around going, oh, what'd you say? How are you feeling about your relationship? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, I know. Oh, he said this, I said that. Yeah, he said that. Oh, you've got a great banter. But actually... They should actually chuck rugby players in there because that would actually be fun to watch. Get DJ Hask on the decks.
Yeah.
A couple of massive lads that enjoy a wrestle when drunk.
Yeah, exactly. Actually have good chat. Anyway.
So Tim,
what would Jonathan Spratt sound like if he was from Essex and on Love Island?
oh God, I can't. Essex and Welsh. He'd just go on and go, all right, girls. Oh, no, I can't. No, I've got to get back to you on that.
Finally!
I can't do Essex Welsh
with Welsh
hybrid.
Just so I can picture it, if there was a couple of rugby players to go on, would it be like Jack Noel?
Sorry, are we doing a feature on which rugby players go to Love Island?
I think Jack Noel would. Oh, he would fit in so perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be straight in there.
So it'd be more Noel than Andy Goode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Who would I most like to send to Love Island? Okay, I'm getting into this now.
Because basically, like, Henry Slade has got that kind of boy band look. He wouldn't do anything in Love Island.
He's too clean cut.
He's too clean cut.
Yeah, too wholesome.
Not a bit of ink on him, and he's you know, he doesn't look like all he does is shoulder and bench press all day.
He's not hench enough.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So I've got two sets of guys to go into Love Island, right?
Yeah.
Okay. For two very different reasons. So the first two going in are Thomas Francis and Andy Goode.
That mix it up, okay, mate. Goody, you're mugging me off, mate. You're mugging me off.
Right, so that would be one set. But the set I would rather watch is Backies Botha and Danny Grucock.
Oh, yeah, wow. Now you're talking.
Oh, they would dominate.
Mugging him off, mate.
Yeah. They wouldn't walk around chatting like, oh, you said what? You said that. They'd just lie on a sunbed.
It'd be the first ever time Botha has ever had a pedicure, because these little maggots would be there, you know.
I've got some pictures of the guy. These look like the kind of guy, kind of guys you want to hang out with, don't they, Jay?
Yeah, let's just stop it now, because we've gone through 2 weeks of Brexit. There's a new prime minister coming along. There's no official opposition. Let's just not talk about Love Island.
Okay.
Phil was holding up a picture of...
That guy looks like Digby Ioane.
He does look like Digby Ioane.
Is it Digby Ioane?
Digby Ioane.
It's not Diggers, but it does look like him.
Digby Ioane would fit in it.
Yeah, he's another one.
He would love it. Briefly, we should just mention some of the stash that's come out and instant thoughts.
Oh, yes.
It.
Well said.
So, we've got Exeter Chiefs. They've released their home shirt for the new season, which I'm not feeling it.
No, I'm not. It looks like Northern Lights, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. Because Exeter have never been like a real tradition. They've never had a real traditional strong Premiership kit, have they?
No.
So I don't mind it. I think it's not bad.
It's
all right.
Maybe there's that. I mean, maybe Exeter should go back down their down their history and find something which they like and go back to that.
Yeah,
that's what I'd like to see them do. But there again, they have a tradition only superseded by Ospreys for terrible shirts. That's
yeah.
it.
I didn't mind the last home shirt. It was all right. It was fine. It's their away European shirts I do have an issue with.
Oh, good God. The green one, the orange.
Yeah.
It's either white. I'm not even sure if they play it in white or black.
I do like their white. I do like it when they play the white and the pale blue.
I do really like
that. So.
Yeah, that white kit is nice.
You don't see many rugby teams in all white.
England? Except for the socks.
Yeah, except
Although,
for the socks.
It did annoy me when they changed their socks. Did England used to have navy shorts?
They used to have navy socks with white band at the top.
That's right, yeah.
And
they did go all white at one point.
Yeah.
But they also used to have navy shorts. I think they should bring back the navy shorts.
Oh, no.
You like them in all white now?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's,
I do.
No, I think the navy shorts, because this is the other reason why. How many teams as an alternate kit go pretty much all white? Got South Africa with an all-white strip. Sometimes New Zealand.
Quite often Ireland.
Yeah.
Scotland have done it.
Yeah.
So my reckoning being is navy shorts, which I don't think many teams have navy shorts. Full stop. Actually.
No.
And a white jersey. That looks really cool.
But the advantage of England being white at home means that you'll always, or virtually always, see the opposition's primary kit, because so many of them have a white alternative kit.
It's only Fiji. Maybe.
Because I much prefer seeing England in white, France in blue.
Yeah.
Yes.
England in white, Scotland in the dark blue, Ireland in green. It's much better than seeing.
Although I've got to say that the old school the France jersey, change jerseys are always beautiful to see.
Yeah. France's kit.
Oh.
There's a long tradition since like the early 90s.
Yeah.
The
80s even. The very first World Cup, where you look at pictures of Serge Blanco and Philippe Sellard in that beautiful Adidas kit with the three stripes down the shoulders. Oh,
yeah, I love so those French good. Kits. Have you seen the Stade Français?
Yes,
kits that's been announced.
Pink and blue. It's like stripes, but lightning.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've seen it.
Pink and blue.
I'm over Stade Français now. They need to come up with something. Do you know what they should do? It's almost like I know everything. they should go back to the electric blue and the red stripe. Because that would actually be fetching now. Everyone's done pink. We get it. You got some crazy artists to do whatever they want to do. Go back to your original. That is actually a very, very fetching shirt.
I reckon, because they're quite open to doing strange stuff, I reckon they should all have... The shirt should be whatever would be behind... Whatever the opposition would see behind them.
Very good.
A bit of crowd, a bit of grass, and then... They'd be like invisible men, just floating heads.
The only problem that you have here, Tim, I don't think you thought this through, is rugby is a game where you've got to pass backwards.
This is true.
Oh, yeah. You miss your own
like something very bright, like high-vis stripe.
Yeah. On the side.
Just on the side.
On the sides, yeah. I like that. That's a good idea.
Now, have you seen the alternate Stade Français kit?
Let me have a look on your phone.
It is there.
Average. I mean, what...
Have you... The detail... It's Space Invaders.
Is it?
It's the Space Invader aliens.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yes, it is.
Which is quite interesting.
That is.
I quite like it. And there's a white one as well, third option.
No, they need to go back to the 1990s blue and red flash. That is by far their best kit.
Munster, their chain shirt.
Horrible.
Has got a stag... weird wispy stag on it.
Vile. It's vile.
Like, in Harry Potter when they summon their, like, whatever... spirit animal thing, and it comes up with some whistle. It looks like,
yeah, look, if I want to read
it's like one of them
children's books, I'll go and read a child's book. I don't need to see it on Munster's kit. So
I don't mind that. I quite like the Munster kit.
Here you are, boys, look at that. Is that not a kit? Look at that.
Oh, that is quite cool.
That's a
that Stade Français, yeah, with the three zigzags in the middle,
red shorts.
Yeah, that is nice.
Oh.
There's been loads of Stash Watch. We're bound to have missed some.
Well, have you seen... So Saracens have made an announcement on their kit, but they've not released any images of the kit.
Have they announced that they're going to try and make it look like the waistband's even higher up the shirt?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's
up to the armpits now.
BKL or BLK?
BLK have overtaken Nike on a 5-year sponsorship deal.
That's an odd one, actually.
As kit manufacturers go...
Nike are pretty sharp, aren't they?
Yeah, Nike are pretty good. Adidas are pretty good. Canterbury have been great recently, in recent years.
They're the big three.
They are. BLK...
A good kit maker, but they do have a history of rugby league kits, which isn't a bad thing for rugby league, but sometimes, like, if you look at the Gloucester kit, it doesn't quite sit right.
No, they have a history of too much detail. Sometimes simplicity is
It's like,
beautiful.
Do you know when...
Yeah.
Do you know when quite often it is. Do you know the Chinese try and like they make replicas of stuff? It's like the Chinese trying to make a classic sports car, a classic English sports car. All the right bits are kind of there, but you know it's not been put together by someone who knows what they're doing.
A Chinese rip-off iPhone.
Exactly right.
You instantly know what it's trying to be, but you know it's not that thing.
Like the, Nissan? What's that? What's Nissan's brand? The luxury car brand?
Infiniti.
Infiniti. It's also, like an Infiniti car.
Also like food and drink at Aldi.
Ooh. Oh,
you're going to be obsessed.
I think there's some good stuff.
It's brilliant. I love Aldi, don't get me wrong, but I love that they make it so much
the drink brands are ridiculous.
The drink brands are amazing. I think it's top. In fact, let's get sponsored by Aldi.
Yeah.
Get onto them. Right, well, I think we're done then, gents.
Definitely done now.
Right. This summer is looking like a long, barren expanse. But we're going to have the Olympics before long. We're going to have the Rugby Championship starting in a few weeks.
So 4 weeks of the Olympics.
Shall we put Olympic specials on our podcast to see how long it takes us to get sued?
And surely the top 14 is due to start again in about 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
They've had 2 weeks off already.
Yeah, come on. By the way, one thing, the Lions Tour is going to start 1 week after the Aviva Premiership Final.
Yeah, and the first test is going to be this weekend.
So the first, very late
back, isn't it?
Yeah. God, that'll be a long season for some of those boys next year.
Yeah, seriously long. Right, at Rugby Podcast, the tweet, subscribe on Acast and iTunes, and we will see you next time. Nice one, JB.
Thank you, Tim.
Good work, Philip.
Thank you, Tim.
In a bit.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.